The first reading comes from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. The second reading is an adaptation from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. There was a man, a lawyer, named Nicodemus. He came to see Jesus at night, seeking answers for some of his questions.
"Jesus, we know that you are a teacher and believe that you have come from God, because all the signs you do show the presence of God."
"Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above."
"How can this be? We have already been born and are growing older. Are you saying that we have to climb back into our mother's womb to be born again?"
"What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. You cannot enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Don't be astonished at what I have told you. You must experience a newness, just like a new birth. You look around. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit."
"I don't get it. I can't understand. Help me."
"You are a great teacher in Israel, and yet you do not understand anything about God. I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world might be saved through him. And this is the word of the Lord."
During the week, I attended a meeting of the South Australian Dialogue of the Roman Catholic and Uniting Churches. This dialogue draws together six people from each of the two denominations to meet together up to six times a year to study, reflect, pray, communicate, respond, and liaise. At least that's what our charter tells us. Each meeting, one of us takes turns to lead devotions to help us reflect and pray together, generally using and sharing something that reflects the tradition of worship that we're at home with. This week, it was my turn. And so I decided to use some of the prayers that we are using in worship today and use the reading from the Hebrew Scriptures for today, the reading from Genesis about Abram and Sarah. It is the reading that will be read in many Uniting Churches and Roman Catholic Churches throughout Australia today, and indeed in many churches around the world. It is one of the many things that we do share. When you lead devotions, it's generally the practice to ask others to take part. I ask somebody else a little bit more accurate in their singing than me to lead the singing, and seeing a Bible in front of Roger, I asked him to read it. I must say it was with a great sense of relief that I saw the Bible, as I'd forgotten to take one with me. There was a moment of jocularity as several people helped Roger by pointing out to him, "It's near the front of the book, Roger. Right at the start, Roger." And the book of Genesis is right at the start. It takes us right to the start, in the beginning. And we rush through billions of years of cosmic creation and matter expanding and millions of years of evolution and life unfolding in that first chapter to the start of human life. Male and female, God created them. The writers of those Hebrew scriptures are not so unlike us in this way, at least. We tend to put ourselves at the centre of the stories about the world. The book of Genesis takes us to the start of thinking about how God relates to the world and the human creatures in it. The form in which we have it now probably includes contributions from a number of traditions coming from differing times, but it comes together to say something about the origins of the world and the origins of humanity. And it says something about our consciousness of and our connectedness with the underlying source of life and being. So, what has happened since last week? Last week, if you remember, we overheard a conversation between the human creatures and the sneaky serpent in the garden. We leave them trying to cover their suddenly apparent nakedness with fig leaves. In what follows, God provides for them in some ways, replacing their leafy attempts to cover themselves with much finer garments, even as they are then expelled from the garden. As you read Genesis, you go on to hear how their children have trouble getting on with each other. One ends up killing the other. And as the world fills with people, they all seem to follow the same pattern of violence and corruption. As the book unfolds, we hear of God's continuing efforts and struggles with a rebellious humanity. And despite drastic punishments such as floods, where God attempts to spring clean of the world, hoping for a new and better start, humanity continues to fill the world with violence and corruption over and over again. Now, some of these stories are very similar to those found in the texts of other cultures in the nations surrounding the ancient Israelites. But what's not so common is the mixing in of wrongdoing and punishment, is the mixing in of God's caring acts of provision for humanity. Until we get to chapter 11, the chapter before the call of Abram and Sarah, until we get to the story of the Tower of Babel, where the people aspire to be like God, building a huge tower to reach up. But their plans are thwarted, their languages are confused so they can no longer understand each other, and they are scattered across the face of the earth. There seems to be nowhere for this relationship to go. No future for this human people who cannot accept what is offered to them by the one who called them into being. Then the story takes a little sidestep, or backstep even, as we go back to the story of the flood to hear the list of descendants from Noah to Shem to so on, and the lineage continues through many years and generations to Terah, the father of Abram, who is married to Sarai. This seems to be the family where something is going to happen, but Sarai, we are told, is barren. If the future is with this family, it would seem there is nowhere for it to go. So God says, go. To a family with no future, God says, go. Go leave your country and your culture and go. Go leave your kindred, your people, and go. Go leave your father's house, your family. Go. Go leave your country where you know how things work, where even if you're a nomadic people travelling around, you know the countryside, you know what to expect from time to time and place to place. You know how to behave, how to survive, how to live. Go, leave your kindred, your neighbours, the people who knew you when you were young, and knew your parents even when they were young, the people who like you and who are like you. Go, leave your father's house, your family, where you have a place, where you have a home, where you know security and love, and where you know who you are. Go, God says, go. Go into a new life which connects God to the world, to all the families of the earth. God had seen the track record of all the nations of the earth, of all the families of the earth. They had failed over and over again to see the way of life, chosen the worst over the good. How does God help the families of the earth to get back on track? God chooses a family, a people, and calls them to go, calls them into action. God chooses this family to go into the middle of despair and messiness, of human selfishness and confusion, to be God's hope and new life. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so you will be a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God says, go. Go know yourself to be blessed, and go to be a blessing. Go on a journey that will take you through hundreds of miles of strange country to a new future and a new way of living. A way of living that is based not just on your resources, but a way of receiving and sharing the gifts of God. Interestingly, Abram and Sarai's journey takes them away from the centres of power in the ancient world, the centres of economic and political and military power, to the far lands, the country at the edge. It seems that the blessing of the earth won't begin at the centre of power and influence, but at the distant, unknown, risky margins. And it begins with those who do not seem to have any future or potential. Yet when God says go, and Abram and Sarai respond in faith, a new future is born, a new people, a people formed by God's word, to bear God's promise, to live out God's purpose. Abram and Sarah need to leave home. They need to move on in order to become what they are called to be. They journey to a new land because they need to change so they can become what God sees they have the potential to be. If they stay where they are, things can remain the same. There are no changes to make. Life, as they know it, just goes on. They journey to a new land because God is calling them to new life, a new life where their reliance is not on the things they have always known, your country, your kindred, and your father's house, but on the blessing of God. A new life where they live not just for their own future, but to share blessings with all the world. Outwardly, they journey to a new land, and inwardly, they travel to a new place of trust and reliance on God. In the latter part of their lives, Abram, we're told, is 75 at this stage. In the latter part of their lives, Abram and Sarai are ready to be born into a new way of life, a life shaped from above. And in this life, they will find blessing and be the beginnings of a people who will be a blessing to others. Abram and Sarai do go. They are the start of a new people, a people who continue today in the lives of all who listen to the God who says go. The God who says, go, bear new life, even where you suspect barrenness. the God who says, go leave the old certainties, because only then will you find new possibilities. Nicodemus seems to be searching for something new. And yet Nicodemus comes to Jesus with certainties. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, we know. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do apart from the presence of God. We know. We know who you are, where you are from, what you have done. We know. We know you. But the knowledge that Nicodemus has, the preconceptions that Nicodemus brings, do not bring him any closer to understanding Jesus, to seeing the possibilities for life that Jesus offers. And Jesus, in effect, says, no, you don't know. You haven't the faintest idea. And the conversation that follows has Nicodemus trying to keep pace with the answers that Jesus offers, answers to questions that Nicodemus doesn't actually ask, but answers that he really needs to hear. Jesus begins by telling Nicodemus that he needs a new way of living, a new beginning, just like being born again, born from above. You need to find new ways of living, letting go of your certainties and securities, seeing past the miracles to the reality behind them, to discover new ways of thinking about God, new ways of trusting God, even when God is beyond calculating, even when God seems as hard to grasp hold of as the wind. To be born again, to be born from above, is to be shaped not just by what can be seen and grasped, but also by the Spirit of God who moves in ways we cannot foresee or control, but whose attitude to the world is one of love, one of blessing. For God so loved the world. Living a life of love towards others opens our eyes to the ways the Spirit moves through this world, and it opens our ears to a God who says, go. Go so I can bless. So I can bless you and bless the world. There are times when we need to step out of our own certainties and into new possibilities. I was thinking, when I was a child, there were still traces of the old antagonism between Catholics and Protestants. After all, they went to different schools than we did. They probably worshipped in very different ways. Who knows what went on there? And I heard stories of people who would cross the road to avoid greeting a neighbour from another denomination, from a Catholic or a Protestant. Perhaps some of you can tell me some of those stories. Fortunately, there were those who heard the voice of God, a voice telling them to go to each other, to learn from each other, to be a blessing to each other. And so, while we're still a long way from the unity that is God's will from the Church, we meet together, learn from each other, work with each other in ways that make a difference to the world around us. Locally, our interchurch council helps support chaplains not only in our local schools but in the training centres where our most troubled young people may end up. They go and provide to be a blessing to those young people. Globally, because of stronger links between the church, we are much better placed to respond to the needs of the world, especially when faced with disasters of the magnitude that we have seen over the past month. Perhaps we're only at the start, but it seems in this at least we've heard God's word to go. We've let go of the old certainties that our way is the only way and the best way. And we've journeyed on in new possibilities with each other and in God. As people of God, we are called to be open to the promptings of God, to hear that voice that tells us to go, to go often into strange places away from the ways that we've always done things and the things that we've always known. We're told to go among strange people who do not always know or understand our ways. But in those strange places, among those strange people, that is where God promises to be, blessing us and enabling us to be a blessing to others. And God said, go.